I'm Mike Willen Smith, and this is House Rules. Welcome to episode 21. 30 years ago, I agonized over what sofa to purchase. I finally made a decision, then waited for it to be delivered. The very moment the delivery men left the house, I knew I had made a huge mistake. I spent the next 5 years giving a dirty look to a sofa that I picked out, but it was worth it. By the end of today's episode, you'll know one way to pick out a sofa you won't hate tomorrow. This episode is dedicated to the younger version of me, and I hope it can help you too. I really tried to avoid this truth for a long, long time, and that truth is, if you hate the sofa, you're gonna hate the space. Over the 30 years and 15 different houses where I've been creating home, I found one thing that makes or breaks how I feel about a family room or a living room, and that's my relationship with the sofa. When I detest looking at and sitting on my sofa, there's really no amount of cute tchotchkes or wall art or pretty rugs or lighting that can make up for the hate my heart holds for a sofa that isn't serving our family in both form and function. I really wish this was something that you and I both could get past. I wish I had a trick to make you love any sofa, and I promise I've tried, but I don't have that. Committing to use a sofa that you hate for a long time is kind of like forcing yourself to wear the worst pair of jeans you've ever tried on indefinitely. You will feel lousy every day, and everything you pair with it will be tainted. This goes for the most prominent piece in every room. If you hate your bed, you're not going to love your bedroom. If you hate your dining table, well, you get the idea. If you don't love your sofa and you're ready to make changes in the room where your sofa lives, I want to encourage you that if you do nothing else, then find a way to get a sofa you love, your entire room is going to feel better. It's the single most impactful decision you can make. When you hate your sofa, you're going to hate your space. When you hate your space, you won't fully use it, and that's a waste. Maybe you feel like if your family says the sofa is comfortable, then you're not allowed to change it. But comfort is only half of what a sofa provides, because even when you're sitting on it, you see it. If you didn't care how your sofa looked, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast. If you've trained your family to think a sofa should be as comfortable and nappable as a bed and should include cup holders and remote-controlled recliners, you're going to have some work to do to reintroduce a sofa that does the main job well, which is allow people to simply sit comfortably. It's possible to find a comfy sofa that looks great, and I know you're up for the challenge. 30 years ago, I was freshly married, and we had saved a budget for one piece of furniture. Of course, that was the sofa. I was equal parts thrilled and terrified. I knew enough to know that I didn't know how to shop for a sofa. I was very aware of that, while also being aware that we needed a place to sit. Y'all, I know this is going to sound like a lie, but I can vividly, clearly remember thinking and wishing that there was someone I could just hire to go to the sofa place with me and help me pick one out, kind of like a sofa counselor. I knew that I wanted to learn how to make great decorating decisions myself. And even if I had the budget, I probably wouldn't have wanted to hire a designer. But I also knew that there was a lot riding on my sofa decision. If only I had an article or a book to read or a coach or someone to give me some rules of thumb on how to buy a sofa that I wouldn't end up hating. The truth is, I became that person. And the tuition for me to graduate from sofa buying coaching school was purchasing a sofa that I instantly hated. It was worth it. So now I understand how to buy a sofa that I'll love for years. Now I am talking about the looks of the sofa today. Of course, we can talk about the feel of a sofa another time, but today I'm talking about how the sofa looks. So I understand how to do that, and I can tell you how to do that too. Almost every town we've lived in has a neighborhood that was built between the late 1800s and, I don't know, around the 1940s, and it's full of charming homes that are well cared for. Every home has character and personality and endearing qualities. A lot of times, every home sells fast when it goes on the market in that specific neighborhood. And every woman wants to drive down the street slowly in the evenings. We want to see if we can see through the windows as the lights are coming on. There are Tudor-style homes with arched doors and cat slides. There are craftsmen with their low-pitched gable roofs and exposed roof rafters, maybe some tapered square columns leading to a beautiful porch. You'll see sensible and stately colonial revivals with their beautiful symmetry. A lot of times they have a center door with side lights flanked by double-hung windows. There's probably even some French eclectic homes with steeply pitched hip roofs, maybe even a round tower or half timbering where you see the exposed wood. And a lot of times you'll see brick or stucco and stone with that house. Maybe if you're lucky, there's some really older homes and you'll get a fussy asymmetrical Victorian with gingerbread details and turrets and wraparound porches. Then, from time to time, as you drive through the neighborhood, you can tell that a plot or a lot or a piece of property has been sold and a recent new build has been put right there. So a lot of times we can tell because that house doesn't have the charm that the older homes have around it. Why? Well, it's because it lacks history. The new house often isn't built with a nod to the past in the same way that the older homes were. So although the new home was built with the trends that were popular at the time, it most likely won't have the same appeal over time because it lacks the rootedness into the past. It's missing those classic, recognizable details that links it directly to a historical past. What in the world does this have to do with buying a sofa? Well, I think it has everything to do with it. If you want to purchase a sofa that you won't hate tomorrow, one way is to look for a silhouette or a shape, or a lot of times it's referred to as the sofa style, and you want to find one that's been around for a while. A classic style is ideal because it's proven itself over time. How do you know what a classic style is? Well, I'm going to tell you, but also I'm going to give you a way to see for yourself. So if you want to go to a thrift store or maybe your grandma's house, or if you just get your hands on some old decorating books or magazines from 30 or so years ago, or you could just Google or maybe even on Pinterest, search for living rooms from the 1980s or 1970s. At first, the patterns and colors and the datedness of all of it are going to be way in your face. So you have to kind of get used to that and let your eyes adjust. But after that happens, I want you to go silhouette hunting. So we're talking about sofas today. So that's what I want you to notice. I want you to notice the shapes, the outlines, the silhouettes of the sofas. Try to ignore the weird fabric colors, the styles, and the patterns. What you're going to find is that you recognize some of the classic shapes of sofas, and you're going to recognize that you see those in homes today because they've proven themselves to be ideal, and these sofa styles have a name. Some classic sofa shapes that have stood the test of time are Chesterfields, English roll arms, Camelback, Lawson, Tuxedo, and Cabriole. So if you want to buy a sofa you won't hate tomorrow, try looking for a sofa with a name, with history, because one way to predict the future is to look back at the past. I've purchased at least 10 sofas in my life, and I've had custom-made sofas. I've had thrift store and garage sale sofas, and the sofas that I liked best that we used for the longest time were the ones with a timeless classic shape. A few of those were $100 purchases from thrift stores. A few were nicer, brand new sofas. Slip covering a sofa also is a great way to get more life out of your sofa or to update an outdated fabric. But if a sofa is the wrong scale, if it's uncomfortable, or if the silhouette or the shape is something you don't love, slip covering it is not going to help that much. It's not really the price of the sofa, believe it or not, that makes a difference in whether I like it for the long haul and whether I think you're going to like it for the long haul. It's going to be the silhouette. Yes, a nicer sofa, like a really well-made sofa, is going to cost more. And to me, I do think it's worth buying the best sofa that you can afford. But where most of us go wrong is buying a sofa with an unrecognizable, uncategorizable shape, and then we wonder why it adds no style to our space. Listen, I'm the queen of this, so that's why I know it so well. Am I saying that if your sofa doesn't have a name, it's ugly or wrong, or that you're going to get really tired of it? Not at all. Some of my favorite sofas I see online are unique and amazing. But if you're like me and kind of worried, or maybe you have an experience that you bought a sofa and then you ended up not liking it, I want you to look for something more timeless. If you're unsure about what direction to go, if you want something that you're going to love for years, choose a timeless silhouette in a neutral color with a fabric that's soft and easy to clean. For me, I'm going to add color and pattern with pillows. I'm going to change those up every season because you know I'm fickle when it comes to color, but that sofa is going to last a long time. Timelessness is truly here to stay. Today's episode features house rule number 34, timelessness is here to stay, and house rule number 40, hate the sofa, hate the space. Those are just two of the 100 house rules included in the brand new book called, you guessed it, House Rules, How to Decorate for Every Home, Style, and Budget. House Rules is available everywhere books are sold starting April 23rd, 2024. If you're listening before that date, you're extra lucky. You can pre-order and reserve your copy now. And as a thank you, we've created a masterclass called House Rules in Action. I invited a video crew to my home. We walked through the rooms of my house and I shared which rules helped me make decisions in every room. You'll also receive the audiobook for free when the book releases. There's a link in the show notes. The same link is the one that you're going to use to order your copy and to claim your gifts.